Oye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas is now in session pursuant to adjournment.
Thank you. Be seated. This morning, the court has four causes on its oral submission docket. In the order of their presentation, they are as follows. Texas Beef Cattle Company and others versus Jeff Green individually and doing business as J&F Cattle Company from Liberty County. Anderson Producing Incorporated versus Cook Oil Company from Polk County. Railroad Commission of Texas and Goodrich Oil Company versus Torch Operating Company from Travis County. And Texas Water Commission and others versus Brushy Creek Municipal Utility District from Travis County. In each of these matters, the court has allotted 20 minutes for each side to present argument. The petitioner may reserve a portion of that time for rebuttal by so advising the marshal of our court. We will take a brief recess in between the presentation of each cause, and we will finish all four arguments before the lunch break. The arguments are being recorded for the convenience of the court. If you would like to purchase a tape of these arguments, you may make application with our clerk. We are ready to hear argument from petitioners in Texas Beef versus Green.
May it please the court, Mr. P. Michael Young will present argument for petitioners. Petitioners are reserved 4 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please this honorable court, there are three key issues in this appeal. First, whether a malicious prosecution action may be tried and go to judgment for the plaintiff while an appeal of the underlying action is still pending. Second, whether there was any evidence in this record of the special injury to the plaintiff's person or property, which is a prerequisite in every malicious prosecution action. And third, whether the jury's finding that one defendant was motivated by actual malice in interfering with the plaintiff's contract justifies disregard of the jury's findings that all defendants acted in the absence of legal malice, that is, were legally justified in their acts of interference. I'll touch on each of these issues briefly today, and I'm available to answer any questions concerning any aspect of the case. With respect to the first issue, we contend in this court for a rule that a malicious prosecution action may not go to trial and judgment for the plaintiff while an appeal of the underlying action is still pending. Such a rule is the majority rule among American jurisdictions which have considered the issue. Such a rule is supported by the Restatement of Torts, first and second editions. Such a rule is the only rule that fits with this court's pronouncement in Davis versus City of San Antonio.
It might be a good rule for the future and would constitute grounds for dismissal at the trial court. Well, what purpose would be served by sending this case back?
A very legitimate purpose, Your Honor. In fact, the Amarillo court has reversed in part the underlying action. And so this case vividly illustrates why we need this rule. Not only would we be going back only to say, well, now the underlying action has been terminated, we would be going back to the trial court and saying that the underlying action has been terminated. It is pending at this moment in a district court of Hartley County, Texas, where the parties are in a great dilemma. Does Texas Beef proceed with the Hartley County case? The Amarillo Court of Appeals has said there are triable issues of material fact. And the Beaumont Court of Appeals has said that Texas Beef must pay damages for litigating those triable issues of material fact. That is precisely the dilemma that the courts get themselves into if they allow a malicious prosecution action to proceed during pendency of an appeal from the underlying case. 21% to 23% of appeal judgments in Texas are reversed or modified on appeal. And so if we allow malicious prosecution actions to go forward during the pendency of an appeal, that means that 21% to 23% of the time, we're going to be faced with the same problem we have in this case with inconsistent results and with a litigant being held to be entitled to proceed by one court and liable for damages for proceeding by another court.
Mr. Young, would it be, is it your view that if any portion of a case has not been terminated, then it's not terminated as to any of the issues in the case?
That is correct, Your Honor, because unless this court has completely resolved the matter by an opinion disposing of part of the case and remanding it, we don't know yet whether any portion of the case is final. If the trial court disposes of a portion of a case on an interlocutory basis, It may change its mind or it may be reversed.
Well,
the Court of Appeals...
Excuse me. I guess I'm thinking of a circumstance where Green, obviously in this case, is arguing that what was finally resolved was what happened with this 247-headed cattle. It seems to me that what Texas Beef is arguing, yeah, but that was also included in a part of a lawsuit dealing with some other things here, and it's these other things that are still pending, and as long as those other things are still pending, then we don't have a final judgment of the 247. My question is going to be, not addressing the issue now about it pending on appeal when it on that issue, but assuming that somehow the defendant has sort of, I guess, would be a permissive counterclaim. There's some litigation going on here. I do have a permissive claim against this one party, so it can be added to this lawsuit. It seems to me that's sort of what this circumstance is, and they're trying to claim we can avoid liability for relitigating and relitigating and relitigating a permissive counterclaim simply because some other claim was pending all the time.
I have two answers to that, Your Honor. I think a case can be made for a rule that we ought not to allow malicious prosecution actions piecemeal, and until the underlying action is completely resolved, we ought to wait before going forward on any part of it. But even if the court decides otherwise, I think the measure of what was pending on appeal has to at least be judged by the measure of what was within the scope of the malicious prosecution action. This malicious prosecution action was not merely as to the Group B cattle, which has now been an issue finally resolved. It was also as to the Group A cattle. And so the plaintiff can't go to the jury and say they maliciously prosecuted as to the Group A and Group B cattle and get a verdict and then now say, well, it's over as to the Group B cattle. Yeah, we know it's not over as to the Group A cattle. They didn't make that distinction in the scope of their malicious prosecution action. In other words, they didn't confine it to that which is now final on appeal.
Don't they continue to read part of the instructions to the charge that way, though?
They continue to read their pleadings that way. Unfortunately, the pleadings were not before the jury, and what was before the jury was evidence that Texas Beef was continuing to prosecute Group A, allegedly maliciously, and argument, in particular. In final argument, the plaintiff said this. They talked about the Group A cattle and Group B cattle. Group B were the 247. The Group A cattle were some other disputes they had with Cargill. Jeff Green had nothing to do with that. Why did Texas Beef drag Jeff Green into that other dispute? Why? Because it cost him money. Texas Beef was going to get even with Jeff Green. That was the basis on which they obtained their jury verdict, not by any means limited to Group B. And so now to say, well, Group B is final, but Group A is not, but we ought to disregard the fact that Group A is not, is inconsistent with the way they pitched their case to the jury, inconsistent with the basis on which the jury found for them.
I have two questions on that point. You set out on page 10 and 11 of your supplemental brief where you say that Group A was litigated. Are there any other examples in the statement of facts where that was tried, that was put before the jury? And the second question, are there any other tribal issues that you say were in both proceedings?
The first question, Your Honor, that is the only evidence and the only argument. We read the jury charge as not being limited to Group B. It asked the jury, was the Hartley County action maliciously prosecuted, and did not define the Hartley County action to be only the Group B cattle. So we think it was litigated by argument in the brief and by the fact that it was within the scope of the jury's question. I think the scope of the malicious prosecution action was Group A and Group B, so I think that's all we're talking about.
On another issue, do you contend that you're entitled to rendition on the tortious interference claim because of the jury finding of justification?
We do, Your Honor.
And are we just to disregard the finding of malice?
You are to disregard it as immaterial in light of the legal justification finding. The purpose of the actual malice finding was to support an award of punitive damages if actual damages were properly awarded. It was the link that would take tortious interference to the level of authorizing exemplary damages.
So we have malice, two definitions of malice that apply?
That is correct. We have under Clemens versus Withers, you have legal malice, which is the standard for actual liability, and actual malice, which is the standard for exemplary damage liability.
And I presume all this was pointed out to the trial court and preserved all the way up here?
Yes, it was, Your Honor. We moved for a judgment notwithstanding the verdict and to disregard the finding, all findings, in fact, except the legal justification finding.
Well, maybe you have a... I want to go back to balance. Just one more question, and then I do agree it's time to get off. I mean, go back to the A and B. In their brief, and I've not looked at the charge, but they say the charge... instruction to the jury specifically said, refers to a lawsuit and then says regarding the 247 head count.
What they're referring to, Your Honor, is that there was an instruction that the Hartley County litigation was final as to the 247. There was not an instruction or a definition defining the Hartley County litigation to be the 247. And so when the jury was asked, was the Hartley County action maliciously prosecuted? They had room, and they had evidence and argument to do it from, to find that the Group A litigation was part, or indeed for all we know, all of the malicious prosecution. That was argued to them. That was part of the evidence in the case. And so I don't think we can, at this stage, segregate out Group A and say this case was not about Group A. It was by the evidence, by the argument, and by what was within the scope of the question asked to the jury.
All right, I'm sorry. Now, back to Malice.
What would you have us do with those cases that talk about justification as an exercise of one's legal rights in good faith?
Well, I think we have
Isn't good faith incompatible with malice, or are you saying that we're talking about the two different things?
I think we're talking about two different things, and unfortunately the semantics make them get confused very easily. It's kind of hard to talk about malicious good faith, but I think that really is what this boils down to. When the courts use the phrase good faith in the phrase good faith assertion of legal rights, what they are referring to is something different from a charitable motivation toward the other side. What they're referring to is sincerity. Does the defendant honestly believe he has rights to pursue?
Let me ask you, if ultimately it's determined that the defendant was operating within his or her legal rights, does it make any difference what their subjective state of mind is?
Well, it does in this sense. If the defendant, and we have this from the Victoria Bank versus Brady case, that there the court held that there were colorable rights, but that there was some evidence that they were not being pursued in good faith. We have to decide what the court meant when it said some evidence they were not being pursued in good faith. When you look at that decision, there was some evidence in the record that the bank knew that it did not have a bona fide claim. And so I infer from that that what the court is talking about is that one must be in subjective good faith in believing that one has legal rights to pursue, and also one must not employ improper means, and there was some evidence in the Victoria Bank case that the bank had employed improper means. So that's what we would say good faith assertion of legal rights means. It means sincerity or honesty of purpose, and it means employment of only legal means. What it does not mean is pureness of heart toward the opposing party. And that is because if you don't have that rule, then tortious interference doesn't fit into the general framework of the law whereby one may assert one's legal rights irrespective of one's malicious motive.
Why is justification a fact question if it's purely, if the only issue is whether the defendant is asserting a legal right?
Well,
some court decides to have.
Well, because whether they are asserting legal rights may in turn depend on disputed facts. In other words, if the jury believes that there was a colorable basis for the claim, then the jury finds justification. In this case, for example, we had expert testimony from the counsel for Texas Beef in the Hartley County litigation as to their belief that they were pursuing colorable legal claims. And to some extent, although the court cut them off, there are reasons for believing that.
On your point about special injury to personal property, can you give us some examples of what is and is not special injury and some practical guidelines of how you know what is, or should draw, how we should draw the lines of what is and is not?
Certainly, Your Honor. The courts define special injury as being an actual physical detention of a person or seizure of his property. And so in the old days, when suits were commenced by arrest, of the defendant. That certainly constituted a special injury. Nowadays, absent some kind of contempt proceeding or some other proceeding whereby the defendant is physically attached, we don't normally have interference with the person. Seizure of the property would refer to a sequestration, an attachment, an injunction, something like that, that results in actual physical detention of property. We don't have any of that in this case. In contrast, some of the things that don't constitute special injury, attorney's fees, we've cited cases on that. Repetitious litigation, we've cited this court's Pye case on that. Attendance at deposition and trial, which is one of the bases on which the plaintiff relies, we've cited cases on that. Things that are the ordinary incidents of litigation do not constitute special injury. We reserve malicious prosecution for those cases in which some extraordinary happening has occurred to interfere with a person's liberty or to interfere with the actual use and enjoyment of his property.
There seems to be some maybe there's not any confusion, but what's the discussion about an injunction in this case?
The problem we have is that the Hartley County litigation was multi-party. Everyone was suing everyone on a variety of claims, everyone claiming to own different sets of cattle. Texas Beef prayed for an injunction, and an injunction was issued, but we do not have in the record what the scope of that injunction was or at whose behest it was issued. The 233 out of the 247 cattle were sold at auction, and the proceeds were interpled before Texas Beef ever filed. Before Texas Beef sought relief against Cargill in the Hartley County litigation, and therefore it was not the interpleader of the 233 cattle that occurred as a result of Texas Beef litigation activity. There were an additional 15 cattle that kind of lagged behind and were sold later. Apparently there was an injunction requiring the proceeds of those cattle to be placed in the registry, but there's no evidence that that was procured by Texas Beef rather than by one of the other litigants. Additionally, we have the question of, is an injunction that says deposit money into court, is that the kind of physical seizure of property that the courts speak of when they talk about special injury? My time has expired.
Questions
at this time? Any questions?
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Bill Daniel and Mr. Mike B. Johnston will present argument for the respondents. Mr. Daniel will open with the first 5 minutes.
It please the distinguished members of this high court, honorable counsel for the applicant, the petitioners. I'm humbled and grateful and privileged to come here before you in this beautiful courtroom in behalf of my client, Jeff Green. I'd like to thank you, each of you, for the splendid service that you have given to our state, our people, Southeast Texas, especially. I'm grateful to you very much for all you've done. My first appearance before the Supreme Court in 1938 was over in the old building 57 years ago. Judge Curtin, Judge Price, Judge John Sharp heard the case, all rich. Trespass to tri-title suit. Oddly enough, the style, the respondent, the original plaintiff in that lawsuit was Jeff Green. This young man's grandfather. And for these 57 years, I've had the privilege of representing that family and I take great pride in the quality of client and citizenry that they are in our area and in our community. This case has been going on for 7 years. It's been tried by a jury 3 separate times. Every time, 2 times in Liberty County before his peers, those who know him well, before visiting trial Judge Bacon in Judge Doug Wood Court. They awarded the full pleadings award to our client. The first one went up to court, Civil Appeal, Beaumont. They affirmed it, brought it up here. You refused a writ of error. And he got his money. At that time, it was 700 and some odd head of cattle. At that time, Mr. County took Mr. Bill O'Brien told our client, took him off to the side, threatened him, intimidated him, and told him, I don't care what this court does in Liberty County. We are big. We are what they are, an unscrupulous, opulent conglomerate with all the unlimited funds in the world. And he told him that. He said, I don't care what this Liberty County jury does. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you up yonder to Hartley County in my back door, and we're going to try this case all over again, de novo, all over again. And I'm going to break you. It's in the record. I'm going to break you. You little country boy down here. Think we can't? We will. And Mr. Mike Johnson, my partner here, wrote Texas Beef and said, please don't pursue that litigation that you have up there. Follow the appeal, if you will. And he refused, and they refused to do it. And they did, in the pursuit of that litigation up there, forced my client to have to spend all that money and all that time, 664 miles from my hometown, the emanation of the lawsuit, the venue of the lawsuit, to go yonder and spend that money and that time, and also got out of the injunction. They said they didn't want these cattle. The price was too high. It's in the record there. And what did this boy bought these steers? He paid for them, he fed them, he lost money. Actually, in the end, Your Honor, he lost money on this 247. And what did they do then? They got out of the injunction in the home court tournament so that he couldn't sell them to anybody, couldn't sell them to Cargill, who said, yes, we'll take them at your price. And that's his appearance in personal life and business life. He's a poor man. He's just a hard worker every day. He needs that money. He needs his money now. And every one of the courts have affirmed our judgment. And they bring it up here to put in your laps and talk about public policy of intimidating others. If you sustain the court in Beaumont at the special court there, and Judge Bacon, final trial judge, as we have in our part of the state, you're not going to. I mean, excuse me. If you let me suggest, you're not going to cause lawyers to be chilled with the idea of filing these lawsuits, but it's going to be the other way around. We've got laws to, if you abuse
the system, then you got to pay, and that's what they did. Race the judicata once, twice, even in their own court, in their backyard, where he told me he's going to take this boy in their backyard. Even that, Judge Pat Boone, fine trial judge under in Hartley County, we did get him to agree to confine the lawsuit to race the judicata. And under this case here, 1986, this court unanimous, this court held, and it hadn't been tampered with, that once it's adjudicated, even though it may go up on appeal, they are stopped from filing these other lawsuits, collateral lawsuits, just suit after suit after suit after. When did you turn, excuse me, when did you turn that on?
If you're going to split your time with
I am.
Counsel, then it's time for you to get
started. Yes, thank you, Gilmer. And I will. I'm so sorry. There's so much involved here. It hurts me so bad to see an injustice done here. I ask you to keep your eye on the squirrel, gentlemen. They're trying to get you by an office lawsuit. And when you read those statements back, and we rely on our brief, and that 40 or 45 page opinion of Judge Brookshire. Excuse me, if I did wrong, I'm sorry. I apologize. Thank you again.
May it please the court. May it please the court, counsel. One of the things that I would like to dispel, if I may, that appears to be a major point by Texas Beef is that the entirety of all the cattle was tried in Hartley County. Our pleadings are specific. They are limited to only the 247 head. The pleadings are clear. If you go back and look at the pleadings, if you look at the entire argument, if you look at the record on this case, there was only the 247 head were tried. Nobody attempted to get into the Group A cattle because that was not an issue before Judge Bacon in the malicious prosecution, the second trial in Liberty County.
Why was it mentioned in summation?
It was brought up during the evidence or argument by them about these other cattle that they claimed that they had some loss in. It was not brought up in our case in chief. It was brought up by them that in an attempt to show the jury that they had other losses or other claims where they were being unfairly treated. But as far as our argument, if you look at the entirety of our opening argument and closing argument, we never at any time argued to this jury, nor did we attempt to put on any evidence on anything other than the 247, because that was the only claim that we had. As a matter of fact, it was our position that we had nothing to do with these other so-called Group A cattle.
Mr. Johnson, in your brief on page 12, it said that in that case, referring to the Liberty County case, Green alleged, among other things, that Texas Beef had failed to pay the purchase price owed on cattle other than the 247 had discussed above.
That was in the first Liberty County trial, Your Honor, where Jeff Green was owed like $250,000 by Doug Florence on cattle. The first Liberty County trial that was tried, where Texas Beef had filed a counterclaim on the 247. That's what we're referring to in our brief. And Jeff Green, and we contend that was part of the impetus for Texas Beef maliciously prosecuting and suing Jeff in Hartley County, was an attempt to get out of that judgment that had been found by the trial court, supported by the jury interest.
Counsel, on the special damages issue.
Yes, Your Honor.
Was there any actual interference with property other than the injunction that put the proceeds of the sale into the registry of the court?
Yes, Your Honor. It's our position on that Jeff Green was interfered with by in person and his property for the reasons that he was compelled against his will. Once the case had been filed up there in Hartley County against him on the same 247 that had been already been tried in Liberty County that was up on appeal,
and when we ask for for them to please abate that pending their right to appeal. We had no problem with them appealing the 247. The objection we had was being if you look at the suits pending in Liberty County when we went to trial, their counterclaim on the 247 in the first Liberty trial identically matched what they filed against Jeff while that case was going on. While we were in trial in Liberty, they filed the identical pleadings in Hartley County, and you can track them as we did with the jury in the malicious prosecution case. They were identical. The interference with his personal and property, Your Honor, was the injunction. In their brief, they say there's no evidence of an injunction, and that is simply incorrect. If the court will look on Defendant's Exhibit 10, page 3 through 5, which is their pleadings that are part of this record, the statement of facts, page 202, 323 through 324, and the injunction order itself, which is part of this record under tab 3269-8, shows that when Texas Beef in their brief says that this record does not reflect an injunction was ever issued in Hartley County, that simply is incorrect.
Were the terms of that injunction anything beyond putting money in the registry of the court?
Yes, Your Honor. The terms of that injunction, to which Jeff Green was named a party, which directly affected him, which he was bound by, had the effect of enjoining anyone from doing anything with respect to the remnants of the 247. Part of them had been sold at Dalhart Auction. The remnants of those cattle, which were about 14 or 15 head, which had not been sold, the order enjoined anything being done with those cattle, the remnant cattle.
It's clear on the face of it that Texas Beef got that portion of the injunction.
It is. Texas Beef was the plaintiff. If the court will look at the injunction order, they are the plaintiff. And these 247 are directly and specifically identified. In addition, the proceeds of the balance of the 247 that were sold by Dalhart Auction were affected by the injunction directly because they were prohibited from doing anything with the proceeds of the sale of the balance of the 247.
Mr. Johnson, let me ask you about the termination of the proceedings requirement in the malicious prosecution cause of action. It's not rare that litigants, one side to a lawsuit will file a lawsuit in one county and another one will try to file in another county. And so we have, in essence, a race to judgment, I guess, under our venue statute. Under your theory of this case, if one lawsuit is reduced to judgment first, a jury verdict is obtained, and there's a judgment rendered by the trial court, is the other party who's filed the lawsuit, maybe even, probably after the first one, liable for malicious prosecution if they proceed and the court does not abate that lawsuit?
Well, let me answer it this way, Your Honor. In this situation where Bill O'Brien came to Jeff Green during the Liberty County trial and said, it doesn't make any difference what happens in this Liberty County trial. I'm going to sue you from now on. I'm going to run you out of business and I'm going to break you. When at that time they had the identical pleadings on the 247, there was no doubt that they were the same 247, the same causes of action. Under Scurlock, when those were tried in the Liberty County court case, and the jury in Liberty County came back on question 31 that they submitted as part of their compulsory counterclaim and said that Texas Beef was not the owner of the 247, nor did they have a possession or a right of possession of the 247. This judgment was entered by Judge Baker. We put on these chronologies.
Why at best would that not just entitle you to assert res judicata as to those claims in the subsequent lawsuit, rather than give rise to a malicious prosecution claim?
Well, our malicious prosecution claim, Your Honor, was not filed until the final judgment of Liberty was entered in May of 1989.
that went through the Beaumont Court of Appeals. Beaumont Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court, said Texas Beef didn't have a right to Article 47. Then when they filed the claim in Hartley County, or it was pending, we asked for a separate hearing on a ratio collateral collateral estoppel issues up there with their home judge, their home jury. That jury found that Texas Beef didn't have a right to 247 or the claim of 247. That judgment was entered in March of 1992. So our malicious prosecution claim was not filed until April of 1992, after two juries.
At any time did you try to stop the Hartley County proceeding through mandamus action or through motions filed with that judge?
Justice Phillips, we filed pleas and abatement, which were heard and overruled. We filed motions to quash depositions of Mr. Green, which by court order he was compelled to go 600 miles and spend 2 days in Amarillo giving depositions. We filed a motion for summary judgment with Judge Boone in the Hartley County proceeding, which was argued. We went up there for a long oral argument. That was denied. We exhausted every trial pre-appellate remedy that we had. We did not file any application for writ of mandamus, but we did everything within our power to get them to stop the Hartley County litigation before the trial. Judge Boone finally agreed that we were entitled to a separate trial on the res judicata and collateral estoppel issues. And those two issues were tried in March of 1992.
Mr. Johnson, you, going back to my question, you have said a number of times that the only issue in Liberty County, the only issue in Hartley County, has ever been, with Mr. Green, the 247 head of cattle.
That's correct.
In your brief on page 12, you say that Green alleged, among other things, that Texas Beef had failed to pay the purchase price on cattle other than the 247 head discussed above. You said that was in the Liberty County litigation.
The first suit, Your Honor.
Now, you're saying there are two lawsuits in Liberty County.
No, the first suit in Liberty County had to do with Jeff's claim for payment of cattle, which Texas Beef had not paid him for. And that's what we're referring to in our brief.
So the litigation in Liberty County involved something more than just the 247 head cattle?
Yes, but it did not involve the Group A cattle that they were counterclaiming on, that they now say was part of that proceeding. It did not include that at all. It had the money in the first Liberty County case had to do with specific identifiable cattle that Jeff had bought and paid for and had shipped to the Beck Ranch.
So there were other issues in the Liberty County case than just the 247 head of cattle?
That's correct.
And as a part of that lawsuit, issues involving 247 head of cattle, you say, were resolved in Liberty County?
Texas Beef filed a counterclaim roughly 3 weeks before we went to trial, the first part of April of 1989. They filed their counterclaim specifically claiming that Jeff converted the 247 head.
Is there any reason that counterclaim had to have been brought in Liberty County?
No, sir.
Well, might have been barred in a subsequent lawsuit.
It could have been barred by a collateral estoppel.
Be a compulsory counterclaim.
Or res judicata, or we think it was a compulsory counterclaim that would have been barred.
So they had to bring it to Liberty County.
I think they made that decision to bring it, fearing that if they didn't bring it to Liberty County and they tried these other issues, that they would be precluded from pursuing it in Hartley County. And that's a very good point, because
Jeff Green's lawsuit against Texas Beef involved the 247 head of cattle.
We did not raise that issue in our petition, the first Liberty County case.
Jeff Green sued them for something, some other cattle.
That's correct. And then that's when they counterclaimed, voluntarily submitted to the jurisdiction of Liberty County on the 247. They never contended that venue was improper or that Liberty County didn't have jurisdiction over them with respect to any of their claims.
You were about to say that's an important point. What were you going to say?
I'm sorry?
You were about to say that's an important point. What were you going to
say? It's an important point because it goes to their good faith and the fact that they had Judge Bacon determined when the Liberty County jury
came back and found that they had no right or ownership claims on the 247. That was part of the final judgment entered by Judge Bacon on May 20, 1989. Judge Bacon said under Scurlock that they couldn't have had any good faith claim, they couldn't have had any legal rights, because under Scurlock, once this was determined here, they couldn't collaterally attack that by suing us for the same 247 in Harley County, and that for purposes of our claim, there was a final judgment.
They could appeal that case, though, couldn't they?
They could, and we had no objection to them appealing, and that was our position with Texas Beef on the two letters that I sent them.
And why does it make sense to permit a malicious prosecution claim contending that the underlying suit has been terminated in your favor before an appellate court gets a chance to consider it and perhaps reverse it, which eviscerates the underlying basis for the most malicious prosecution claim? Why is that a good thing to do, or why should we adopt that approach?
Well, because in this case, if the court allows, by their ruling in this case, to disregard a final judgment, even though they've appealed it, if the court will allow the type of conduct that Texas Beef had, where they can basically tell another litigant in the court, I don't care what you rule on, I'm going to go sue you in my backyard or some other court on those same claims, and I'm not going to go through my legal rights to appeal that. I'm going to go sue you in another court. So I'll have some leverage on you not to pay the judgment I owe you over here. And that's exactly what Texas Beef did. I think it would be bad public policy to encourage lawyers to do that. And if the court does not affirm Beaumont, the Beaumont Court of Appeals, I think it would be encouraging multiplicity of suits. It would be encouraging other litigants to just disregard Scurlock in the finality of judgments. And again, Your Honor, the reason that I think that the termination issue is in our favor, they also sued us for negligent management and for wrongful sequestration. Those two claims, admittedly, were abandoned by Texas Beef in the lower court. In addition,
are these questions that are still, are your statements still responsive to Justice Corman's question?
I hope so. Am I out of time?
Yes. Are there any, Judge Heck, do you have any kind of things?
Give up.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
May it please the court, I'd like to make four very brief points. First of all, with respect to the argument and evidence on the Group A cattle in the malicious prosecution case. The evidence was the direct testimony of the respondent on direct examination. It was not elicited by Texas Beef. The argument was the respondent's closing argument. It was not interjected into the case by Texas Beef. I think when the court examines the record, it will see that by evidence, argument, and instruction, the Group A cattle was before the malicious prosecution jury. Secondly, with respect to the evidence of an injunction, I must apologize to the court. It's never before happened to me that opposing counsel and I can't agree on what the record contains. We may interpret it differently. But I cannot find in the record any injunction order or any proof that an injunction was procured at the behest of Texas Beef in the Hartley County action. If it is there, I simply cannot find it.
They claim that you were the plaintiff, and the injunction on his face shows that it was granted on behalf of the plaintiff.
We were the plaintiff, but the suit originally was not against Mr. Green or against Cargill. It was against some other people who had some other cattle that they were trying to remove from the Beck Ranch, and was filed in the midst of confusion about which of the cattle on this ranch belonged to whom. Only later were various other parties added, such as Mr. Green, such as Carter. If this were a one plaintiff and one defendant suit, and we asked for an injunction, and the record showed that an injunction had been issued, you might infer that it was the injunction that we asked for. That was not the situation in this case. We had claims, counterclaims, cross-claims flying among various parties, and and there's no proof that I can find in the record that we procured any injunction, and certainly no proof that the injunction extended beyond saying, pay money into the court rather than tampering with some physical property of Mr. Green.
They claim the injunction also speaks to the 15 other cattle that says he cannot, you're enjoined from selling or disposing of the 15 other head.
There again, Your Honor, I apologize. I can't find it. If it's there, it may be there, but I can't. I've searched for it diligently, and I cannot find it in the record before this court. Governor Daniels said that every one of the courts have affirmed their judgment. I submit that it is every one of the courts save one, and that is the Amarillo Court of Appeals, which found a fact issue as to the Group A cattle. And also, as to the Group B cattle, found that indeed that litigation was precluded, but found it on the basis of two decisions of this court, Barr versus RTC and Morris versus Landall, which had not been decided at the time the Hartley County case was tried. That under the transactional approach, not only the causes of action that were litigated in Liberty County, but all causes of action that could have arisen out of that transaction were precluded. The causes of action asserted in Hartley County did not include, after the Liberty County judgment, the wrongful sequestration or the negligent grazing. And it did not include claims of title to the 247. Those were recast into conspiracy claims. The Amarillo Court of Appeals eventually said, well, that doesn't make any difference under the transactional approach. But the fact of the matter is that the identical claims were not being pursued in Hartley County after the judgment. And in addition, in Hartley County, we were contending that we had not received a full and fair opportunity to litigate in Hartley County. That was not solely based on a conclusory claim that we've been hometown in Liberty County. It was based in part on the fact that the thief, Doug Florence, Mr. Florence, had claimed the Fifth Amendment during the Liberty County litigation, but was now available to give testimony during the Hartley County litigation.
Any other questions?
Say briefly, what is your fourth point?
Sorry, Your Honor. My fourth point is that during the Liberty County litigation, tempers flared, egos got bruised, and accusatory statements were made. If we are going to permit tortious interference claims to be based on the fact that businessmen got mad at each other and made threats when they were asserting their legal rights as found by the jury, then we have opened the floodgates to litigation.
Any other questions? Thank you. That concludes the arguments in the first cause, and the court will now take a brief recess.
Yes, please rise.